Time for the Press Box.
So we've got plenty of issues to talk about on this Tuesday morning. Great to have Matt Logue and Nick Campton from the Daily Telegraph in the Press Box this morning. Good morning to you, Matty and Campo, and thank you for your time. Plenty of issues. So can I start with the Michael Maguire West Tigers situation? I said earlier they have to back him or sack him. What's the difference between today and yesterday? Matt Logue, let's start with you on this one. Do we know any further of what the situation is today at the Tigers?
Yeah, it's a great question, Matty. It's one that continues to evolve. You know, hearing reports that Michael Maguire was on his last legs and he was out the door, and then as of late yesterday, the board want to cool their heels a little bit, and they haven't made up their mind yet. They want more time to consider their position. I just think rip the Band-Aid off, Matty. If there's any doubt, then just rip it, because like it just feels like to me there hasn't been the improvement there. There seems to be rumblings. And they just need to make a decision either way. But for me personally, I just think the writing's on the wall.
Campo, what do you make of this? It appears as though there's a bit of a fumbling and bumbling in the dark here at the West Tigers.
Well, it seems to me that this is the most West Tigers way to approach a very West Tigers situation. We all know the coaching troubles that they've had ever since Tim Sheen's left. There's been a lot of turnover. And the only way to sort of complicate the decision is to not make the decision at all. It seems to me that the club's direction is changing on almost a daily basis, and I'm kind of with Matty. If there's any doubt about whether he's your coach of the future, then there is no doubt, and he's got to go, rightly or wrongly. It's all it does is by delaying the decision, it sort of play into the unfortunate image that the West Tigers have right now, which is one of dysfunction. You know, so I'm with Matty. I think if they're not 100% sure that he's their guy, then he's got to go.
I had a discussion with Josh Hodgson earlier this morning, and about this player advisory group that they're setting up for the Rugby League Players Association. There's a whole raft of issues that they want to talk about. Nick, I'll get your opinion on this first. Rule changes would have to be top of the tree when they come to sit down and discuss what they want to have a seat at the table for. Do you think that's the most pressing issue that the players will see?
I think so, Matt. There's been so many rule changes over the last 18 months, and I feel like a lot of them have been really rushed through without a whole lot of thought about their long-term effects. And given the players are the ones on the front lines, they should be consulted. They should have a voice. There's a lot of very smart individuals who are playing our game at the moment who have a great understanding of the mechanics of the sport. And when you have that wealth of knowledge at your disposal, I think you'd be silly not to make as much use of it as possible, you know. So I'm glad to see the players get a greater voice in the game's direction and where it's going to go and how it's going to be played.
Matty, I did ask Josh the question this morning that, you know, when the shock and awe of Magic Round came in, I said to him, do you think the tackles would come down if there was a directive without a crackdown? Now, he says, yes, we would have followed a directive. You guys speak to players day in, day out. You know the drill. Do you think that that's a reality, or did the NRL really have to come down hard in Magic Round, even though it didn't work the way that we all would have liked it to have happened?
Yeah, well, I think, Matty, we've seen that it's been a bit of a process. Like, the NRL have made their stance, and it was hard, and while it was inconsistent, it was always going to take time for the players and everyone else to adjust. So, yeah, I tend to think that the NRL were a bit of back into a corner no matter what, but at the same time, it had to come in. Like, it's a difficult, you know, situation, you know, for the NRL to set a, you know, a precedent, but, you know, that they needed to, because tackles, you know, were creeping high, and I agree it wasn't handled the way it probably needed to be. It was all sort of like, go hard, and then it sort of, then they were inconsistent, but something had to be done, and yeah, I guess it's easy in hindsight to sort of say that.
Campo, milking penalties and trainer stoppages, is this, you think, the biggest problem that we've got over the final 2 weeks of the season?
It's certainly a big problem. And it's one of those ones where I'm not 100% sure on how you fix it. It's tough to make the referee the sole adjudicator of the game and the judge of whether a player is seriously injured or not. I think that's far too much pressure to put on referees who are already under a tremendous amount of pressure. Like Ashley Klein copped a lot of stick for stopping the game a couple of times on Saturday night. But how's he to know if a player's diving or if a player's actually seriously injured? You know, I feel like if we might go too far in the other direction and a player could be seriously injured and we have play on because the referee thinks he's diving, and I think that's a situation that none of us want to see. So it's certainly an issue, and I think it's something that smart clubs and smart teams have been exploiting for a long time. But how we actually get about fixing it is it's not an easy one, and I'll be interested to see how the NRL handles it.
Have you got any thoughts on that, Matty? I mean, how you fix it, because everybody's doing it.
Yeah, Campo raises a really good point, because he's potentially going down a really dangerous path of the assumption that someone is faking it or milking, and as Campo says, someone could be seriously injured. So, yeah, how they deal with that. But reality is, as you point out, Matty, it is an issue. Like, I think, you know, Stirl on the weekend, I think a couple of times a Penrith player, granted they were injured, but he's just like, he was just, you can't stop the game necessarily for someone. Like, get him off. And I don't know, maybe there's a way of, if a player goes down injured, there must be something set, precedent set with the trainers where if as quickly as you can get them off, or a quick time off, get them off the field and let's go. Because I tend to agree that, as you say, like, teams are exploiting it, and that that's something that has to be addressed.
Yeah, and I think I'm with you guys. I'm absolutely with you guys on the fact that it needs to be addressed. God knows how we do it, but leave that for greater minds than us. Let's get into some fun stuff. The top five contenders revealed last night for the Dally M for this year. So the usual suspects are up there: Tom Trbojevic, Nathan Cleary, Cody Walker, James Tedesco, and Daly Cherry Evans. So, Nick Campton, you can have your say on this one first. Out of those, who do you tip to take out the Dally M?
Well, it's got to be Tom Trbojevic, right? It's got to be Tom Trbojevic in an absolute walk, you know. But I would have said the same thing last year about Nathan Cleary. I would have said Nathan Cleary's going to win this in a walk. And then he didn't. He didn't even make the top two. So crazy things can happen with the Dally M. So I'm prepared for anything, but surely this is one of those years where we all just agree that Tom Trbojevic is the best player and the numbers come out and reflect that, right? Surely.
Well,
There can't be shocked 2 years in a row.
And we thought last year was a disjointed season. This year has been even more so. So perhaps there could be two shocks in a row. Matty Logue, are you sticking with Turbo?
Yeah, like, I think Campos on the mail. Like, surely Turbo. But in saying that, I think Nathan Cleary has returning from his injury, 4 games to finish the season. He was, you know, decent. But surely that's not enough, given, as Campo rightly points out, Turbo's form to finish the season was majestic, and these numbers were off the chart. So, yeah, I think let's touch a bit of wood and hope that it goes that way, because I think Turbo deserves it.
All right, finally, I'll stay with you, Matt. Let's get your selections, your picks for the weekend, and therefore our grand finalists. So we've got Rabbitohs Seagulls Friday night, and then, of course, Saturday afternoon, Storm v Panthers. Who goes through in your eyes?
Jesus, I think the first one is really difficult. Manly and South, I think, it'll be an absolute cracker. The battle of the coaches as well, with Bennett and Hasler. At this point, I'm going to stick with South Sydney, but with no confidence whatsoever. And then in the second game, look, I'd like to see Penrith do it. I'm just concerned about how they're playing at the moment, and I think Melbourne with a rest, and they're just so methodical. I just think Penrith will have to deliver a performance that we haven't seen now for a while to cause one of the great upsets to beat Melbourne.
And it would be. So you've got South v Storm and Campo.
Yeah, I've got to go the same. I've got to agree with Matty. I'm probably taking South with a little bit more confidence. I really like how their forward pack's been playing the last few weeks. I thought that was what won them the day against Penrith. Tom Burgess and Jai Arrow both played their best games of the season. Might have been the best game of Jai Arrow's career, and I think that's where they have a real edge on Manly. And if they can turn the game into a bit of a dogfight, a bit of a grind, I think that plays to their strengths more than it plays to Manly's. Manly love their free-flowing point-scoring style so much. And, I also would like to see Penrith give the Storm a real fight, but I feel like it's been two really tough games in a row for Penrith. I think they're playing a little bit tired. It's been a really big season for so many of them with the Origin contingent. Their attack seems to have abandoned them at the worst possible time. They've only scored 2 tries in their last two finals matches. Both come off kicks against a team like Melbourne, who are so strong defensively and so gifted on the offensive side of the ball. I'm struggling to see it. I'm struggling to see them beat Melbourne unless they can summon the same sort of effort, defensive effort that they summoned against Parramatta, and can turn this into a grind, into a dogfight, and then maybe take the win with a Nathan Cleary kicking masterclass. But I feel like a lot of things have to go right for that to happen. So I'm going South versus Melbourne in the big one as well.
Okay, so both of you going the Rabbitohs v the Storm, Bennett v Bellamy in the grand final. We'll wait and see what unfolds this weekend. Appreciate your time. I'll let you get back to your duties at the Daily Telegraph. Matt Logue and Nick Campton there in the NRL press box. Our thanks to both of them. You can have your say, 0457 736 736. This is Mornings with Matt White on 1170 SEN.